morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. We are now just about countywide. We are down in Southern Berkshire. I am so happy and pleased to announce that I have, for the first time going into Southern Berkshire on WTBR's Morning Drive, Senator Paul Mark, a person I have the utmost respect for, and he's, in my opinion, he's a man of integrity, and he should be an example. He's a politician's politician. And I don't call him a politician. Actually, I call him an elected official, because today politician sometimes has a bad connotation, not with him. So good morning, Senator Mark.
Good morning. Good to see you, and good to actually be on camera reporting live from State House in Boston, where there's service and I'm not in the car.
and people can actually know that you're a human being, not just the voice. So you're at the State House right now.
I am.
Wow,
yeah,
great.
Right
now. Let me bless you.
It was the right day for it, right?
Yeah. But boy, there's a lot going on nationally, internationally, locally, and statewide. How do you feel? And this is maybe an unfair question, but how do you feel about the potential cuts to the state?
Yeah, that's a problem. So, depending on what happens with the federal government, and there's obviously a lot of debate and a lot of uncertainty as we sit here today, with what might be happening there. But we know that the president, if nothing else, is looking to cut some programs and reduce some of the spending, we'll say kindly, with the federal government. And so where we sit here in Massachusetts, and the statistic I heard last week was, out of a $58 billion budget, about $15 billion of that comes from the federal government. So in good news, and we've talked about this, the way we've managed the budget here in Massachusetts, and in Massachusetts, the budget always has to be balanced, and we have a stabilization fund, they call it the rainy day fund, and we're sitting on about $9 billion. Wow. But $9 billion sounds like a lot of money, right? Until... If in theory, over 4 years we lose 12, it's first of all, we can't spend down the whole fund, because you're always kind of worrying what's the next emergency, and you know it's there for that. So the feeling here is uncertainty, and chaos causes uncertainty, and uncertainty causes more instability. And so as you're trying to do something as simple as write up and pass a budget, which we have to do every single year. We're a one-year budget cycle. It makes an atmosphere where there's a lot of worry. And so the meetings that we're already starting to have with people in the district, I had a meeting last week, whole delegation here with the Berkshire County superintendents. And, you know, there's always, they're always having need. They're always facing challenges. And for the first time in a while, because there's been lean years before, you know, it felt kind of like almost I'm sorry, I don't know that we're going to be able to help you as much as you're going to need this year, and that never feels good. Nobody wants that. We want to make sure that the resources that are needed for, just say, kids going to school and having an effective learning atmosphere and having the best experience possible, you know, we want to do what we can to help them. So it's a moment of uncertainty that I haven't seen the uncertainty before in my time here in office. And as far as the worry about lower revenue, I've seen that before, but it's been a few years.
Well, I many years ago when you were in grammar school, we were preparing for Y2K.
Yep.
And I was tasked with writing up a paper, an anticipation paper of like looking what could happen if all the computers shut down?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was one of the big fears, that it the stroke of midnight, everybody's computer was programmed and it would just shut down because it wouldn't recognize where it was. But I think a saying came, and I used it in my last book that I wrote with Dr. Frances Spina, Justice Spina's daughter, Francesca, PhD, and is basically is, we don't know what we don't know.
Yep.
And so yet we're supposed to be planning for what we don't know. And I don't envy you in the State House at all, because I don't think whatever way the ball swings, you're going to lose. No, I mean, if you have to pull money from, I think Pittsfield's one thing, but how about Alford and Russell and all these towns? They don't have a rainy day fund, or if they do it, I've got more in the bank than they have in that fund.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I don't envy you, man. It's got to be a tough role.
It's a tough moment, and it's a moment where we're planning on all else being equal that we'll grow about 2%, and so that's where we reflect how the budget is going to look, about 2% growth. The problem is when we try to come up with the budget, and it's like a 6-month process. We're starting the hearings on Thursday this week, and we go through the House doing a version in April, the Senate doing a version in May, and the two versions being reconciled in June. And what we want to make sure, excuse me, because whenever this happens, it causes a lot of frustration and heartache, is you don't want to come up with a budget that the governor's going to have to cut in the middle of the year. Because once you get, that contract, for lack of a better word, we're getting $1 million. If you plan out your fiscal year based on $1 million, and suddenly 200,000 gets cut next March, it's a real problem. And you mentioned, communities, municipalities. There's only one way municipalities can make that up, and that's through local taxes. And we don't want that. So we're trying to give as much stability in an chaotic situation as possible.
And you know, I maybe it's me and I'm old and I know, and but I do also want to say this. You have championed rural and all school districts, actually within your realm of authority here and the state, and gotten transportation and all day lunches. I and a lot of that depends on federal funding, that food.
Yeah, that's true.
So I hope when these people make these plant their sword in the sand, their flag in the sand, to fall on their sword for something, they understand, is it really worth it?
Well,
'Cause
that's and it cuts, right? It cuts across urban, rural, Democrat, Republican, everything in between. I mean, there's a reason that the legislative process works the way it does, and at the national and state level, it involves both a House and a Senate and a governor or president, executive. And so there's trade-offs. The way, just for example, like food stamps. The reason food stamps exists, there was in the 30s, there was an urban senator, I believe, at the federal level, that saw people that were hungry, people dealing with the Great Depression. And there was a rural senator who the farmers they represented weren't able to sell their food. And the statement, I forget who made it, maybe it was Sergeant Shriver or somebody, was that there were two similar interests on either side of a canyon, and they met and solved a joint problem. And that's how legislation is supposed to work. And so then you can't have someone just unilaterally, without more legislation, just decide we're not doing that anymore. And if as a policy matter it is decided and debated that a program never work doesn't work the same way. Like the army doesn't need as many horses as it needed during the Civil War, right? Like, yeah, things change, and we want to adjust and change. But
How did you know I was in? My
so like
horse's
no one's
name was Testy, but no.
no one's saying like nothing can ever change, but we're saying when it changes, it has to make sense, and you'd like there to be a thought out process on how is this going to affect people. And yeah.
I go back to John Fitzgerald Kennedy saying, it's not a Democratic thing, it's not a Republican thing, it's the right thing.
Yep,
You
exactly.
know, and I think in fairness to Massachusetts, and I've said this publicly before, I think if the federal government would run as smoothly as the Massachusetts government, we wouldn't have all these kerfuffles.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, I I'll be honest. I'm worried about a lot of things, but I am also worried about that the baby doesn't get thrown out with the bathwater.
No, that's important. That's right. There is, if there is, this is state, federal, city, I don't care. If there is fraud,
Right.
if there is waste, if there is abuse, no one wants that. We want that taken care of. And again, if we can look at something and decide that a program that was useful 70 years ago, 90 years ago, 20 years ago is no longer hitting its intended target, its intended metrics, then yes, that needs to change. But you're exactly right. We can't just decide. I remember in you like to talk about how I have a doctoral degree, and in
Right.
that program in economics, the guy would say, you know, I talked to a general once, and he told me he thought 5% was a good level of GDP for defense spending. It's like, but wait, isn't it supposed to be based on what are your needs and what are your
Yeah,
necessities?
yeah.
You can't just like
Boom.
decide we're going to cut 3%. It's like, okay, but 3% where? 3% why? 3% to do what? And is cutting 3% now, which I've seen this, is cutting 3% now, and I'm making up the number, gonna cost us 8% later? Because that's what you don't.
Exactly right.
That's what you don't. Yeah.
What I learned a long time ago from a guy who was my boss, who really made Attila the Hun look like Mother Teresa. But he would always say, especially with policy development, spending cuts, all these things. I learned more probably from his way than I did in any college course, and that was, you're going to write a policy now. How's that going to fly 5 years from now? You're going to have to anchor it in something solid. You know,
Right.
not just say, all right, nobody can drive cars without a license. Why? You know, but no, I think all of us, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but all of us, we may have to sail through some rough seas.
And we've, you know, we've been there before, whether it's as a country or as a even modern times as a state. You know, I said I was wrong. Hey, a politician can admit they said something wrong. A few minutes ago, I said I haven't seen this much uncertainty, and no, in March and April of 2020, I saw this much uncertainty
Yes.
because COVID hit, and we completely
Exactly. Yep.
adapted. Yep, but there was like 2 months like, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen,
Yep.
and that was worse. That was definitely worse. But so yeah, we have to be always ready to pivot. We have to always be ready to take things as they come, and you know, try to keep stability in a chaotic world. And so in Massachusetts, I think we're gonna do that better than
Oh, I do too.
places, and I think, you know, we're gonna get through this, and nationally again, I've seen people panic for things I thought were actually a good idea. I've seen people panic over things I also thought was a bad idea. And we have highs, we have lows, and God willing, we always come through it. And
Yeah.
I had a town hall meeting the other night, and I said, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
What do you want to do to protect democracy? You're all doing it. You're here on a Friday night, sitting with your senator and your representative and having a conversation for, it was like 2 hour conversation. This is
Wow.
democracy. So if you're doing this, then no one can take that away from us as long as we keep doing that. And so you win some, you lose some, but we stay the course.
Yeah, and yes, because this is the greatest experiment in the history of mankind, humankind. And does it have its flaws? Oh yeah. And I just noticed, I better say, we are recording this program on Ash Wednesday. No, my wife did not hit me in the head with a poker. And if I'd have tipped my head anymore, the priest would have put it right here, and you wouldn't have seen it. But I think, Paul, you know, is we have to set the vitriol aside. What I've always liked about you and Representative Neal and Representative Pignatelli and Barrett, and you present logically and civilly. You know, I mean, you're not out there waving your flag, yay, and if you're against my flag, you're no good. Well, you know, that dog don't hunt. That's democracy too, is having to be able to disagree, but not be disagreeable.
Yeah, there has to be a forum for debate and for different ideas. And when you lose, you accept that you lost, and you come back and you try again, and maybe next time you win. And that's on every policy issue. Like, there's years where we try to do something that I think is great, that is great for our district here out in Western Massachusetts. And I'm told by someone, well, there's three other priorities, or there wasn't enough money this year. And if I just went out and trashed whoever, they're probably not going to hear me the next year that we try. And so, you know, we try to work together. And this is like, yeah, this is your message to Congress, every Congress. You might be in the minority next time. So you're supposed to work together. I know you and I, we talk about Tip O'Neill and Reagan. Like, they knew that. They knew you're on top right now. Next minute, you're the one that is on defense. Like, you have to be respectful, and you have to be respectful that even the people that are of the other party or of no party or of wherever, someone voted for them. And so, you know, the voices have to be heard. I want what is best for my people, of course, number one, but that doesn't mean I don't respect that, like, someone on the Cape cares the most about lobsters, or you know, whatever it might be. So
I like lobsters.
I'll show you the district. We might have done this before. I just happen to have this next to me. It's about a fifth of Massachusetts.
And if you don't know the full map of Massachusetts, just a little blurt missing drops off into the ocean. But you know, being you know, the Senate has always been, at least the U.S. Senate, a place for debate, a collegial. And I let me say that word again, collegial. One more time, collegial. And not a, it bothers me as an old man to, because I've watched it and you've watched, you studied it. I've been there. I've watched it, very intense stuff, really intense, and yet they were collegial. They didn't attack. They didn't, you know, I mean, I think both parties should probably sit down with their people and say, we talk about democracy. When are we going to start practicing it? You know, I mean, Bill has his right to say what he wants. Paul has his right. Mary has her right. Larry has that. They're representing their viewpoint. I'm not an elected official, but I still have a voice.
Right. When I teach the class on state government, I always, if you're a future student, I'm sorry, I'm ruining this for you, but I always have each of the students, like, come up with an idea that they care about. And I say, it can be budget, it can be policy, it can be national, I don't, you know, whatever you want. And in a class of, say, 16 students, they don't know it, but over 8 weeks, we end up narrowing it down to one idea. And so it really makes them look at, you know, how do
How's
you
sausage made?
compromise? Yeah, exactly. How do you figure it out? So then when it's done, and when we come to the one idea, and this is, I've done this at least five times, right? And I say to the other students, I say, all right, so you, Bill, why'd you give up on your idea? And they're always like, oh my God, I didn't think of it that way. And then, you know, and then they're like, but we coalesced around, we thought this was the one that was realistic. And like, and I tell them at some point in the class, if I sign your idea as the governor, I file it for real in the legislature. And like, they're like, oh my God, you know. And so they're like, these students from MCLA, from BCC, wherever, they've had, like, pieces of budgets and policy, like, happen in real life. But the point is, they always, like, develop this pragmatism. I've only seen, like, a fight once, and can you believe it? And a discussion made them recognize what they were in danger of throwing away, and they pulled it together. So it's almost like, you should have like a training in
Well,
Congress. Like, let's sit down and do this.
and to me, it's not, and now it's on television. When I was a kid growing up, it wasn't. Now it is. And people watch it and they say, well, that's not very nice, the way that one person, I mean,
That's true. It's
no,
not.
I this just happened actually. I was out and about in Big Y, and the lady said, I was watching C-SPAN and I didn't think that that one person was very nice to the other person. And I went, really? No, but and I think it is true. We've got to get civility back. You got this name calling, and I this is just, oh, let me give this. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the people who this morning went out to get the Berkshire Eagle and found out there was black ice. I'm one. But anyhow, especially references to Hitler and Nazis and all. I've been through Buchenwald and Auschwitz. Trust me. Trust me.
I've been to Auschwitz. It's not a joke.
It's and it shouldn't be just thrown out there. Dear to like the representatives and are like Nazis. Well, you know what? First of all, read the books about Nazis. And yeah, I mean, I left there very, very sad, very depressed.
No,
When you
it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. Now you with all this going on, we got the potential for a big hit from the feds if they don't change some things in the way they're thinking in Boston and but then there's the world that all of us have to live in. And groceries and I heard somebody say, oh, Trump said that once he got elected, grocery prices had gone down. Dude, it's been a month. It takes a truck a month to get here, but and I'm not defending what Trump says either, but I'm just saying, what does Joe and Mary Sixpack of the group I belong to? We used to be on fixed incomes. Now we're on shrinking. And boy, how will that affect? And I here's what I and I go back to this simply because I know how important it is. How will that affect school meals?
Oh, everything. I mean, the cost, right? If the price of eggs keeps going up, that affects
Yeah.
baked goods, that affects everything. I mean, it affects pizza. So yeah, it's gonna affect school
Don't get
meals.
carried away here. Pizza. I was at a place the other day where there was a 50, you had to pay an additional 50%, 50 cents for an egg.
No way. Oh wow.
Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, what are they supposed to do? Absorb it? I mean, so
Yeah.
the underlying problem. And it's again, I don't think it's anything new, is that you said so earlier, sometimes politician has a negative connotation, and it's because politicians will make a promise that they have absolutely no way of delivering, and they will oversimplify maybe
Yeah.
what you're saying. Because if someone ran for president and said, and the policies I'm going to put in place over a year are going to lower costs, then maybe we'll see that.
Right.
But they, if you overpromise, then people are going to be over angry. And so the reality, though, is as long as basic items like eggs and a lot of things, I think, have gotten very
Oh,
expensive,
yeah.
at the store when I go there, as long as those things are expensive, it cuts to what we're able to spend other money on, and that has an impact on local businesses, and that has an impact on local economies, and that has an impact on tax revenues, and that's how you have this multiplier effect. So just
Yeah.
things that are happening right now, you have stock markets going down, and hey, maybe it'll change next week. I don't know. That's no one knows. If you knew, you'd be very rich. You'd be Warren Buffett. And
My
just
personal friend.
I would just say the thing that makes economies do better is, of course, confidence, a plan, and then an idea of stability. I mean, it's whenever I teach like classes in the law or I consider what the Constitution is about, I mean, it's this idea that we're trying to give some level of certainty to an uncertain world, that if you sign up to have someone paint your house in a month, that they don't take the $1,000 and then never show up. Like
Right.
there's a way to ensure that they're going to come, that you know what $1,000 is worth, that you know what green paint is, what a gallon is. I mean, these things don't just happen by accident. They happen because we
Right.
have these systems in place and they're important.
And again, I think, and I don't want to sound like a preacher because I'm far from that, but I think we need to realize is that, we had a conversation earlier with a person. We have to understand, like when I hear people downing homelessness, and there's a lot of elements to homelessness. It's not just not having a place to sleep. And they're the ones that will, in my opinion, if we make these draconian cuts, they're the ones that are going to suffer. The kiddos that don't have 3 meals a day, unless they're in school, they're going to suffer. The kid that on a rural bus route in one of our rural communities, if that gets cut, they're going to suffer.
Yep, and it's going to
I mean, I
cost
hear,
more money.
yeah, I mean, I try to humanize things. Maybe it's my old age. I've been to a lot of places, a lot of crises, a lot of just trouble, in troublesome situations. And it's not Bill Gates who's going to lose out, or somebody else. It's the working class. It's the average Joe who all of a sudden now can't afford an $18 a dozen box of eggs. And eggs are a staple,
Eggs are a staple, and that's the thing. When the economy crashes, it's the people that spend the higher percentage of their income, which is average people like us, average income people like myself, and people that make even less. And a $1,000 difference, either in increased cost or lower pay, is going to have a real impact on how I spend. Whereas, Bill Gates, Musk, whoever it is, I heard Musk lost $6 billion last week. That's nothing. Can you imagine? That's nothing to him. It's crazy. How can
That was
it
his,
be?
oh, that was his wallet.
I can't imagine, right?
Yeah, I mean,
It's
my wife
crazy.
gives me $20 on Monday, and on Friday afternoon we sit down and I have to make an accounting for it with receipts. But all kidding aside, this is what, and I understand blow. I was in D.C. I was on worked on. I understand blow, and I understand we, especially over the past, a lot of go the last 20, 30 years, these agencies just grew. Well, wait a minute. We got computers supposed to make work easier. Yeah, but we need two people to run it. Okay. And it wasn't intentional. I get a little kerfuffled when I hear corruption. I think lack of oversight, lack of management, more so than, and now I'm not saying Medicare and some of those there isn't people, because I read in the paper every so often someone goes to jail forever because they built $2 billion out of Medicare or something. But you're in the fray there. I'm not sure that a lot of these cuts aren't going to hurt in the very long run.
Yeah, they probably are. And this is where I say, if a policy change comes down from Washington, D.C., that is policy, it is social, it is an ideas. In Massachusetts, we're going to be Massachusetts. We're going to stand for what we stand for, and that's not going to change. But if you cut billions of dollars, there's only so much we can do without having a very serious conversation that I don't think people want to have about how much like we're all paying in. And so the reality becomes, if there are significant cuts to federal funding, they are going to have an impact. And I think sometimes people don't realize how much these cuts trickle down and impact your actual life. So yeah, if you're a veteran, if you're using agricultural resources, if you're going to school or your kids are, or they're going to college, or there's so many places that we don't even realize that there's this collaborative communal investment out there that we do intentionally, that when it's almost, I will say this, I find that often in government does not do a great job of explaining what we are all paying for. And so I think, that it's very easy to take things for granted. I hope we aren't going to learn a lesson based on something we took for granted suddenly not being there and being surprised by it.
We're going to take a break. Don't go away. I'm here with Senator Paul Mark. As always, he's insightful, and I'm not, he is, but he brings a lot of stuff up, and I just as a nation, as a state, as a city, as a county, we have to start thinking collaboratively, working together. I say it every day at the end of the show. We're all in this together, each other. That's all we have. And when we start beating each other with a baseball bat, we're going to go nowhere. Nowhere. And I'm concerned about the hatred, and I'm concerned about the vitriol at every level. Every level. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. This is WTBR 89.7 FM. We're also broadcasting on 88.1 FM down there in Southern Berkshire. So Senator Mark can see his people from Southern Berkshire. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio. 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
This is Kevin Cahill from the Sunday Sounds of Ireland show, which you can listen to every Sunday on WTBR 89.7 at 10 a.m. You will hear the jigs, you will hear the reels, the fiddles, the bowrons, and the bagpipes, Paddy Riley, the Wolf Tones, the Chieftains, and even some cranberries. So listen to the Sunday Sounds of Ireland every Sunday at 10 a.m. here at WTBR 89.7.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I'm here. Thank you for listening in and tuning in today. It is Ash Wednesday. That's why I have this mark on my head. I'm honored and privileged to have with me today, and I mean that, and I say it. Paul Mark, he is our state senator. Paul Mark, in my opinion, has integrity. He's believable. He's not out for Paul Mark. He's out. He's done wonderful things for some of it. And I'll say this, some of our maybe forgotten communities up in the hill towns and the rurals and, you know, people who consider a big get together 20 people for a town meeting. But yet he treats them the same as he treats Pittsfield. And that's what makes a difference. Why I have him on, because I trust him and I believe in what he says. So listen, you sit down there in a state house, and just to let you know, sometimes you're buffering. So tell them to crank up the thing, will you?
Okay.
Knowing them, they probably got a 286 computer making it work.
There's a hamster running in a wheel.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah. No, they got a guy on a bicycle. Pedal faster. Senator Mark's on the phone. You're on some committees. What are you doing down there other than just like, you know, being another pretty face like I am on the radio?
Yeah, we got the new assignments last week, so it was pretty exciting. Yeah. I was very happy. I remain the chair of tourism, arts and cultural development. And the big thing about that is we're doing the 250th anniversary of Massachusetts and yeah. So I was a little worried that I might lose it as we head into the actual 250th anniversary. So excited to
great.
Yeah. Still be in charge of that. Starting right in April, we'll have the Battle of Lexington and Concord 250th, and we'll have Battle of Bunker Hill in June, and then there'll be the Knox Trail. So we'll have a Berkshire element.
Right. Yeah.
Heading into the winter, and then next year that'll culminate in Declaration of Independence in July 4th of 2026, the 250th of that as well. So a good year and a half. We're gonna have the World Cup come into Boston, Massachusetts area next year. A lot happening. So that I was happy with that. I remain the vice chair of transportation. Very good for the area. Again, still watching what's gonna happen funding wise, but assuming there is funding, and the governor proposed a pretty far-reaching transportation bill, so it's good as the vice chair to try to get our stamp of the region on that funding. Remain the vice chair of bonding, which is borrowing, so also good place to be. I had those same assignments last time, but now I think you'll enjoy the next one. I am back as a member of the committee of the census.
You upset the president of the Senate too. I said to Paul when he was in the House, what did you do to upset the speaker? You got to sign the census. And what other thing were you doing? It was one of the other.
And then redistricting.
Redistricting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I told him, just go in there and don't say anything.
What you said, you chaired this in the House, right? Hell yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, back on that.
All I know is that it should show the people in our district how important the people in Boston view Paul and how qualified they look at him. No, it's true. They shouldn't put me in census. I don't have any.
Well, that's important because, like, my district, we joke, it's 57 towns. If we don't keep on top of it, it's going to be 70 towns, and it's going to be a moment where it's unsustainable. So we want to make sure we're doing everything we can on that. They're putting me for the very first time on Ways and Means. I've never been on Ways and Means before, so that's good. That's the one with the money for people listening at home. But as Senator Brewer used to say, they're giving me the keys to the vault when there's no money in it. So that's wonderful. And I'm still on higher education and
good.
Yeah, economic development for the first time too. So
good
things. I'm very pleased with it. So it's nice.
Well, you know, I think, you know, as you look at the assignments that you've gotten, none of them are cupcakes. I mean, you know, there are there are cupcake assignments down there. I'm chairman of the cupcakes, you know, but yours are very intense, and I feel good. I have to tell you this story. This guy was going on just as earlier last week, actually, at the end of the week. What are they doing with our money down? What are they doing with our money? God, we just taxes. What are they doing with our money? And I looked at him, you know what a jerk I am. So I looked at him and I said, they're spending it. Don't worry about it. But Ways and Means is a huge committee.
Our
congressman, Congressman Neal, was the chair when the Democrats. Now he's the ranking member, and that's a big deal.
It is. It's a big thing. And I said, I've never, for whatever reason, I've never been on it before. So I am pleased, and I didn't even ask for it. Is the crazy part? Yeah. The tedious part is it's 8 hearings around the state, so I get to add to my already ridiculous driving schedule. I think tomorrow we're in Boston, and then next Monday we're in Gloucester. So like that's fun.
and the thing too is, and I want to stray just a hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is there any studies being done on the Mass Pike to mm-hmm. why that seriously? I say
yeah,
that.
Yeah. To change a lot, they're gonna undertake a project. It might start as soon as next year, funding, of course, permitting.
Right.
They're gonna redo like the, you know, like when you go into Boston and you see like those towers, and there used to be the toll booths, but they got rid of them all, and like the towers where the Boston University students are.
Yeah.
They're gonna take that. They're gonna lower it to ground level. They're gonna create, I think, like new housing, this, that, and the other thing. Do some nice stuff on the river, but yeah, they're gonna completely change. Which it's pretty narrow coming. I think it's a consequence of how the toll booths used to like be like this. Yeah. So yes, there is talk about that.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
Not as much maybe if you mean like between Palmer and Sturbridge is kind of like a place where there's log jams.
Yeah,
but maybe someday.
Yeah, I. The only reason I ask is very selfish, because I go to Boston for the doctor, for the hospitals and stuff, and the VA. And oh God, what used to be a 3-hour trip can turn into a 5-hour trip. And like, if I have a 9 o'clock appointment, we end up leaving here at 3:30. You know.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because you got to be by Framingham before 7, or you're not going to be in Boston.
Yeah, no, I'm a 10:30 to 7 kind of guy. So get here by 10:30 in the morning, and you still might sit for 3 hours,
right?
And then you stick around till 7, and hopefully traffic's died down. Like you know.
Yeah. As we talk about these committees, you know, I want the people in Western Mass, in the districts, in the Central Mass. I mean. He basically, the only thing he doesn't represent is the Cape and Boston. But to understand, these are prestigious committees. And I said they're kerfuffle, you know, cupcake committees, but there are. But these all of these carry a lot of weight, dude.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You should be honored. People have recognized your talents.
I was worried with the tourism and the 250th thing. That you get to the moment where, all right, we've prepped for 2 years and now it's going to happen, and that they weren't going to keep me on it. You know, like you put a lot of work into trying to help facilitate things. And so it felt good as these exciting events are unfolding, and they're going to be good for the economy around the state. So, but thank you for saying that. And yeah, you're right. I don't think I'm on anything that's like, I'm going to make up one because I don't want to insult anybody, but like sometimes there's a committee on the sidewalks around the state house maintenance,
right.
You know, and I'm not on anything like that.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is when you come home as part of the 250th, mm-hmm. by near the museum, by facsimiles there, the store, there's a big rock there. With a placard on it that said, "That's where they planned, I think, the raid on Ticonderoga."
Yeah.
And I think some of my best work has been done in pubs, but there are probably people who argue about that. Challenging committees, time wise, you're going to spend a lot of time in Boston.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and they're changing. It's subject to final approval, but they're changing the way the committee structures are going to work. In the committees are going to remain joint, and we have the most joint committees of any legislature in the country. And so if you want to testify, you want to offer comment on a bill, you're still going to get to come to one hearing. You're going to get to come, and the House members are going to be there, and the Senate members are going to be there, which in Congress you have to go twice.
Yeah.
So the same. But if the rules that are being suggested are given final approval, the senators are only going to vote on Senate filed bills, and the House members are only going to vote on House filed bills. And so that's going to kind of change a dynamic.
Yeah.
That in the past, I've never been in a situation like that, but in the past, a House chair and a Senate chair can fight. And so instead of sending the bills back to both chambers, maybe it only goes to the Senate, and then it dies. A House bill goes to the Senate and dies there. So it's different, but I think it's going to be good. But to your point, it's like, that means there's going to be that much more Senate level scrutiny on Senate bills.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's going to be a lot.
Well, you bring a lot to the, you bring a great educational background. You also bring years of experience now. I mean, I showed he's the senator. I showed him a picture when he was a representative. he didn't recognize it either. I think we have challenge. I think it'd be fair to get out to the public at this point. We could have challenging times ahead of us.
Yeah, be prepared. It's one of those moments where you kind of wait and see, and you know, you work for the best, you hope for the best, and this is where with government, especially locally, and I hope what I'm about to say is true. It's been my experience, if it isn't that for others, even up to our federal officials, that if you contact them in their offices, that they receive what you said, that they want to know it, and that hopefully not every single thought we have, of course, but for the most part, right, they try to act what we care about. And so, you know, that's I've been saying for years, like, democracy is not a spectator sport. Like, you know, you watch baseball and you cheer for your team, and you're happy when they win and you're sad when they lose. But with political stuff, you know, you get on the field too, because you got to vote and you got to be involved and you got to make these calls and send emails. It's so easy now to send emails.
And yes, it is. And I can only speak to Congressman Neal. This is the only, I haven't gone to our senators, but I would say this, that they're very responsive. I've recommended people talk to them, and I've never not gotten back to. Now, was it always what I wanted? Probably about 90% of the time, yes, because I don't ask. Yes. I've got that background. I'm not going to ask for pie in the sky because I've already eaten it. So, but, you know, when you take the job like you have, Paul, there's a lot of responsibility, and I don't think people fully appreciate it. It's not just all glamour. I mean, they're in there slugging away sometimes to get rural busing for Savoy when the guy that was raised in Dorchester thinks Savoy's another country.
I'll tell you a true story. Oh my God. First, there's very little glamour. There is very little glamour. Yeah. But a true story. Now, I've been making an effort, and I think by the end of this term, I will have done it, to have all of the other senators come to my district. And so I feel like I'm approaching 30 out of 40. Thank you. And so one of the things I did a couple of weeks ago was I had them out to Hancock. And so they came to Jiminy. They saw, like, how does a ski mountain work? Some of them tried it. They never had skied. They gave it a whirl. And then they went to Ioka Valley Farm. And I gave them, it was the first maple breakfast they did of the year. They opened and they tried real, for some of them, first time they ever had real syrup. You know, not, I asked the guy, Don, I'm like, hey, how much real syrup is in Vermont made? He's like, but the line of the day was a senator who shall remain nameless said to me, how many people live in this town? I'm like 750. And they said to me, why does this town exist? And I said, well, I don't know. It made sense in 76. What do you want me to tell you?
That's what I like about the delegation. I hope the new lady that replaced Smitty Pignatelli. I understand she's very nice. She's very intuitive. But it's because this delegation has stuck together. And when one goes up, whether it's the House or the Senate, to the plate, they're all standing there with swinging the same bat. And that hasn't always been, as you well know, always been that way. And across the state. And I applaud you as now the senator. You are one of the focal points. You're climbing up into being a senior member too.
Well, that's crazy. If you count House and Senate service, I'm tired of the younger members. I feel like, yeah, I'm probably one of the 10 youngest members, I think, still. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah, even in our Berkshire delegation, I'm the senior member of the Berkshire delegation.
Yeah.
But I'm the youngest member too.
Oh, wow. Well, I have great admiration, respect for our delegation as it stands. TFB and Representative Barrett, I've known him for, I don't want to say how many, because he tries to pretend he's young. no, but he, you know, it's when you guys go down there, you go down there for us. And that's why I run these programs with these with our reps and mayors and whatever, is because I want you, the listeners and the viewers, to hear it right from them, not from a reporter or a newspaper. Right from their mouth, and get to know them through me and this program, and I just think that's very important, especially when it comes to choosing someone to represent us. Government is played. Now I know this is not going to set well with some people, but I'm sorry, it's true. Seniority in government carries a lot of weight. And really and truly, whether it's mayor, state rep, congressman, senator, that's just the structure of the beast. And you have to, if you want to win, you got to play on their terms. And there it is. Anything wrong that I said there, Paul? Please correct me.
No, I think there's a lot to be said for that. And the things you learn and the alliances and friendships and collaborations you develop over the time, I think are really helpful. And I've said it before, I'm the first senator for the Berkshires to have come from the House since 1961, I think it is. Wow. And I think my predecessors did a good job. I think I just have I had a different level of experience in that first term and different relationships. And it doesn't make me better. It just makes what I do, I hope, effective, and I hope
absolutely
delivering for our area. Yeah, you know,
and I think too, as long as the person is taking care of, and that's why we send them there to take care of us. Mm-hmm. We trust them with our tax money, with our future, with our services, an aside. You know, the last couple storms have been brutal. Ugh. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's nice to beat somebody up, but the person at fault is Mother Nature, not the DPW and the plow drivers and the Sanders and the mayor. It's been an awful winter. And yes, am I angry with the potholes? You can't believe it. I hit one the other day, knocked my fillings out. it's no one's fault. That's the point, I guess, I'm trying to make. People are doing the best they can. I believe that.
We live in a pretty instant society these days. And so you know, it gets frustrating when things that we wish would happen quicker take a while. And you know, I drive a lot, so
yeah,
I see various levels of snowplow work and et cetera. But I know I had a meeting with the Mass DOT, Francesca, the director, a couple of weeks ago. Governor came to Conway and like, you know, they're doing everything they can. They're doing the very best they can. They cover almost as much territory as I do. They have 55 towns. It's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, you know, they don't forget. I think some people forget these guys are and gals are on 12-hour shifts. So when they're bang, bang, storm right after storm, from ice to snow to ice back to snow, they're not getting any rest. Their families aren't seeing them. So and it's like, I have to say this, it's like the superintendents of schools. Now, some schools, everybody's bussed there. So that depends on whether the roads are good. In Pittsfield, you hear these people, can you believe they canceled school again? I walked to school with snow to my chin. Well, that's an exaggeration. But the thing now is we have a lot of walkers, kids who walk to school. We live on William Street. We see it all the time. So, I mean, when we hear these things, stop and don't always be so quick to criticize. God, I am so – I mean, I get it myself. So, you know, I'll get somebody say, oh, boy, you had them out for an awful long time. Yeah, it's an hour show. It's been that way since we started. I want to just thank you and the delegation and the entire delegation for what they do for all of us who sit back here and sometimes criticize. But I just really think, Paul, that I want to thank you as a person, not as a politician or elected official, as a person for and I would like you to thank your mom and your dad in your own way, because they raised a really good kid.
Thank you.
Not a kid anymore because his beard's gray. Ha, ha, ha. Mine started to turn gray. I shaved it off. I'm the whole
I say, I might actually, you've been saying this to me, I might actually shave it in the next couple of months.
My mother raised a lazy slob, not a dumb one. I want to thank you, and please continue, be safe in your driving, especially this time of the year. And I have tried to contact the governor's office and to no avail, so whatever.
And I know they responded that time, but that's
that was it.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, because, well, it is what it is. I want to thank all of you people, but I have a quick note before I go. I have to do this, Paul, because otherwise I'm not getting into heaven.
Of course.
St. Mary's Bingo will start again. St. Mary's Bingo to raise money for St. Mary's Church, school, I'm sorry, will be on March 8th, April 12th, May 10th, June 14th, 12:30, game starts at 2. Come and support St. Mary's School. Fun bingo program, charitable lottery games, bingo 50-50. And just there's so many wonderful things, and it helps St. Mary's School. If you have any questions about time and place, you can call 413-243-1079. And thank you for letting me do that. And also, I do want to say it too. There is and I'm going to post it on my Facebook. The mayor and Ricardo put out, Ricardo Morales, Commissioner, Department of Public, update on Pittsfield's pothole management. That was, there's no date, but it's March 4th. There you go. There is a date. I had to find it. Paul, Mark, thank you. Keep up the good work. And thanks for all that you do for all of us.
Thank you so much. Good to see you as always.
Stay well and watch out for the driving. Mm-hmm. Talk to you, bro. And for all my listeners, God bless. And today, let's lift somebody's burden. Make them smile. Give them a call. You know, we're all in this together. Without each other, it's going to be a long, long road to hoe. Take care. Bye, Paul.